Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Phoenix, Arizona, it's time for Phoenix Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Hello, everyone. My name is Deb Karen. I'm the owner of Anahata Marketing and the host of Culture Crush RX, where we explore what makes great company culture and discuss how business leaders can maximize their success by fostering happy, healthy, peak-performing teams and ensuring that everyone is aligned with the company mission. So today, I have a couple of really special guests in studio with me. The owner and operator of Advanced Image Med Spa in Glendale, Dr. Janessa Iannatelli, along with her mom, actually, Karen Janatel, who is the Vice President of Operations at Advanced Image. And these two ladies are a dynamic team with a great story to tell. I really wanted to have you folks in here to talk about specifically the culture of running a spa. And you guys have some unique offerings that you have put together and a great employee or a great team, actually. So we're going to dive into how you've cultivated all of that. I'm going to give you guys both a chance to introduce yourselves. But we're going to start with, tell me who you are and then tell me what was your very first job, the very first thing you ever did to earn money.
I'm Dr. Janessa Iannatelli, and I used to wear a very sexy dress and work at IHOP.
Ooh, perfect. Karen?
Hi, I'm Karen Janatel, and my first job was at a hostess at SodaStraw in a very sexy outfit as well.
Oh, I'm sensing a theme.
Yes.
Fantastic. And now you help people be very sexy.
Hopefully.
Yes, yes. But one of the things I love about what you guys do at Advanced Image, we'll kind of dive right into that. And when I, full disclosure, I work with you guys as clients through my marketing company. But when I first got to know you, one of my favorite things about what you guys do is that you really have a focus on making people feel as good on the outside as they feel on the inside. So there's a huge culture of education that you've cultivated with your spa. So if either one of you would like to dive into that right out of the gate, what is it that sets you guys apart? I think it is that education piece. And in an industry where it's sometimes a little bit overly focused on a little bit of crazy vanity, I think that you guys have something really different that you're offering there. So share a little bit about that, please.
So I think, you know, part of what makes our med spa a little bit different in that respect is that we're really just trying to bring the most beautiful version of that person out and not necessarily completely change the way that they look or turn them into something that is not naturally beautiful or that would catch, you know, sort of your eye and go, oh, that person's had work done.
Right.
We want you to go, oh, what a beautiful man or what a handsome, I'm sorry, what a beautiful woman or what a handsome man, and not, you know, that they've had something done. So
absolutely.
I think that sets us apart a little bit, especially, you know, you get that, I don't want to look like that Scottsdale blank, you know
right.
what I mean? So we try really hard to focus on having a very natural aesthetic, something that is not overly augmented, but that is just going to kind of, you know, refresh, restore, transform if that's what they need, but, you right. know, something very natural.
Yeah.
I think the other thing that's really important about what we do that's so different is that people hear all these commercials. So they'll call and they'll say, I want this or I want that.
Right.
And what we always try and do from the very first moment we talk to them on the phone is get a deeper understanding of what it is they're really looking for. And then Dr. Iannatelli is kind enough. She does complimentary consultations. So when we bring people in, we feel like it's our responsibility to really educate them about what's out there. Find out what the real cause of their stress or distress is.
Right.
And then she can offer them all kinds of different options that allow them to make really educated decisions based on real science and having someone who is an actual doctor look at them.
Right.
Versus going off of a commercial or what they think they want, because we find out quite often, as she can tell you, that what they think they want is not at all what they need. And they're so happy
right.
when they find out that there really are options and that she's going to help guide them that way.
Yeah. And even if it's not something that we provide, I feel like, you know, I would much rather refer someone out to another physician for a service that I don't provide if that's really what they need versus just trying to keep that money for myself and do something that's going to, in the long run, be a disservice for the patient. So
right.
I'll guide them towards either services that we offer or I'll guide them towards the correct location for the services that they need. So
yeah.
I'm not afraid to turn business down if it's not appropriate for the client.
I think that's important. That's kind of a good lesson, I think, in any business, is really kind of knowing what you can offer and then really thinking with that person in mind. Sure. I think that's great, because getting to that why, and also the realistic expectations, because you might look at, you know, I mean, pictures of whatever you see on those ads or whatever the Kardashians are sporting lately. And that may not be something that could even happen for me. Or maybe, like you're saying, like if I'm saying, oh, I really want these big puffy lips, and you kind of get to the why you want that, there's probably a better alternative than trying to model something else. So I love that. I think that's really important. And you touched on it a little bit, Karen, but something that does seem to set you guys apart is the fact that you, Dr. I, are there on a daily basis actually working with the patients, which you say is not necessarily the way it is with a lot of the medical spa industry, correct?
Right. I mean, I think you have to sort of a little buyer beware. Medical spas obviously have to have a medical director, but there are a lot of gray zones with what that really means. And so that medical director may, you know, rarely set foot into that clinic. They may be there in a very aloof sort of supervisory fashion on paper versus actually being in the facility on a daily basis, interacting with both the staff and the clientele. And we try really hard, and I try very hard, to make myself accessible to our staff so that, you know, we create this environment not only of education for our patients, but of education for myself and my staff. I'm constantly going to events and continuing medical education to stay updated on what the latest technology is. The aesthetics industry is constantly changing, you know, the techniques, how things are done. It's, you know, just going rapidly and more rapidly and more rapidly. So we try and stay really, you know, on top of the current latest trends, techniques, technology. And also, you know, I share that with my staff. And so we really try not only to educate the patients, but to just keep a whole environment of education between myself and the staff. So we interact a lot. We have a lot of educational discussions on a daily basis. And so I think that, you know, sort of sets us apart, because I'm available there for consultation for patients any of the time. And I'm also there for consultation with my staff or to show them educational opportunities when they arise.
And you have like a ridiculous amount of credentials. We'll put your bio in the show notes. But yeah, there's a lot there. So that's impressive. But you actually do the procedures on the majority of the patients, correct?
Yeah. So I'm actually trained to do any of the procedures in the entire facility. And I find that to be really important, because I've come across, you know, technicians in the past that haven't been supervised and, you know, think that they're doing things correctly. And, you know, they're not. So I find that it's really important to, you know, constantly monitor the staff, make sure they're on the cutting edge of everything, as well as making sure that I'm on the cutting edge of everything.
No pun intended. Right.
Right. So I do, I can and do all of the procedures in the facility. I focus more on some of the larger procedures and the injectables, but I can and I do all of the procedures that are in our office.
Yeah, let's touch on that. What are some of the, I know there's a few procedures that you offer that are, you know, that aren't offered everywhere. So let's definitely highlight those. But what are a lot of the common things that people are coming in to see you for?
Well, obviously, Botox and fillers are going to be, you know, highly accessible. They're sort of like the gateway drug.
I know. And I just found out the other day that like 99% of my friends are actually doing Botox, and I didn't even know, which means they're going to good people, I guess, right?
Correct.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I think fillers and Botox, like I said, are sort of the gateway. You know, they're very minimally invasive. You know, they have a very great safety profile. So, and most people have heard of them or know someone that's done them. So they feel relatively comfortable coming in and starting out with those. So those are very popular. We do have a lot of different techniques that aren't offered in all places. And so we do those as well. But I would say probably Botox and fillers are our gateway sort of procedures.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense. So kind of shifting onto our idea of company culture and how you're creating the culture in the spa, obviously, it's a client-centric business. So in any business where the customer is, you know, customer matters, I think how you create that culture in your staff is going to come through and be very apparent to your customers and how they are treated. So they're not really two different things, right?
Right.
What is it that you guys do to try to ensure that you have happy staff, that they are projecting that culture among, you know, in front of the clients? Do you have some specific strategies that you employ?
Well, I think probably the most difficult strategy we have is trying to hire the right people.
Yeah.
I try and make it, I do the hiring and I try and make it really clear, even in our advertising when we're looking for people, that they have to have a lot of experience and they have to have a certain profile that makes me feel comfortable with them. After we've done, and it will take us months literally to find people. People with the right background and expertise, will bring them in for very extensive interviews. And we include the staff in on those interviews as well, because obviously I have one set of criteria, which is that they're really honest, healthy, happy people who make you feel like they genuinely care. They better genuinely care.
Right, not just make you feel like
that's
it.
That's right.
Yeah.
So I can work on all those kinds of things, but Dr. Anatelli brings in another set of criteria with the education. And then we have people like Kira who work with them extensively in an interview setting on basic things like lasers and, you know, just their knowledge of the skin. And even though someone has a degree or a certificate, it does not mean they know what they're doing. And we have found that out over and over. So we try and get the right people in the door.
Mm-hmm.
And then when we bring them in the door, we work very, very hard to make sure that they understand that our patients are everything to us. We try and create a culture of understanding and empathy. They have to have the desire to really learn about the people who walk in our door. They have to want to educate them. They can't be afraid of asking tough questions and being able to answer tough questions.
Yeah.
They know, as Dr. Anatelia just referred to, if they have a question that's too tough, they can run to her and she can help answer that as well.
Yeah, I think knowing their limitations too becomes important.
That's big, yeah. Mm-hmm. Knowing what you don't know.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's really important. Because it's our responsibility to listen to our patients, and the staff knows that. And I think that brings them a lot of joy,
mm-hmm.
because they know that that's what we want, and we know that that's what they want. Because what's better than working on someone who adores you,
right?
Of course. You build this trusting relationship. They keep coming back.
That's what I was going to say. They're long-term customers. They're not coming to you for one procedure, right? They're coming to you. I mean,
no, this is lifelong. As long as you're alive and as long as you're aging, things are going to change.
Yeah.
And you have new needs.
Yeah.
And so to build that rapport with the staff makes it really fun for us. I mean, I will say we've garnered some amazing friendships with our patients.
Mm-hmm.
Our staff is like our family. They all know what our expectations are. We try and include them in on everything, including when we do well, they get to do well.
Mm-hmm.
They're part, like I said, of the interview process. They know we value very, very much their input on all kinds of things. And Dr. Anatelli meets with them on the medical side of things to see what they're needing, what they're wanting to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I can be with them on the other half to make sure that all their other needs are being met. And we try to really focus on a whole community of just caring
mm-hmm.
for each other, for our patients. And it's really, I think, apparent to people when they come in that we have that really lovely family sense with a high level of expectation for professionalism and taking the best care of people we can.
Yeah, because it is. I mean, some of the procedures really do involve basically surgery, right? So people
Correct.
Do need to feel safe and they need to feel like you know what you're doing and everybody on the staff knows what's going on.
Well, and people don't understand that lasers can be really dangerous in the wrong hands.
Yeah.
So for us to have a very highly qualified staff, one that, like Dr. Anatelli pointed out, really understands what their limitations are
mm-hmm.
and understands what their responsibilities are, is really important.
Yeah, yeah. That's good. You guys have been open for 4 years now, right?
Yeah, a little over.
Okay. Do you have employees that have been with you the whole time?
We've had employees that have been there for several years.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then you're growing and hiring, it seems, all the time, you know, which is ideal. That's what every business mm-hmm. wants, right?
Correct.
We need new staff because we have more business. That's always good.
That's a very good thing.
Yeah.
It's not an easy thing, but it's a very good
right,
thing.
Right, right. Yeah. It's interesting because I think, you know, like you mentioned Scottsdale, like I feel like here in Arizona, there is a, you know, a lot of people that are looking for these types of services. Does that then lead to, are there a lot of providers or is it harder to find folks that are as skilled as you're looking for around here? Do you typically hire local folks or are you even pulling from out of state or?
We've had both. I mean, I think the issue currently in aesthetic medicine is I think a lot of, you know, lay people don't realize sort of from a reimbursement standpoint, what a disaster general like family practice, internal medicine, you know, even some of the specialties like non-invasive cardiology, it's become very almost impractical to practice as a physician from a monetary standpoint. Oh. You know, people think, oh, well, they're a doctor. They make lots of money. But unfortunately, the way the insurance infrastructure is right now, reimbursement is becoming sort of iffy. Mm-hmm. So there are a lot of physicians that are sort of bailing from their initial board certified specialties and coming into aesthetics because it's cash based, which is great because there is, you know, enough physicians to sort of meet the need of what the patients are wanting. But on the bad side, that means that you have a lot of physicians that have not really taken the time that they need to be trained for this specialty. Yeah. And there are, you know, I mean, it's completely different. It's totally changing. There's a huge scope of skill levels. You know, it's an art really in this particular sense and not as much of a science. Obviously, there is science involved. So I think, you know, that's another thing where we sort of have to be careful as consumers in checking out, you know, who we're seeing as our physicians, because it's just become a really popular industry just from a reimbursement standpoint. And so, you know, I think you have to really be careful and kind of check, you know, your physician's backgrounds and their qualifications, which is why, you know, I try and set myself apart by, you know, if I can, like, for example, you know, on the vampire techniques, Dr. Charles Reynolds, that's the person that the physician that invented those, you know, I went to his facility in Alabama and trained. The inventor of the Wyliffe techniques, Dr. Cho Kell, he flew in from New York and trained me himself. Mm-hmm. You know, so I try really hard to, you know, set myself apart in my training because I think it's extremely important. And I think that that's something that patients really need to inquire about from their physicians.
I had not even considered that point, mm-hmm. but that's really important. So as a consumer, if someone is looking around at providers and they're looking to make this decision, they've never entered a med spa before, what questions should they be asking or where would they go to find out, is this the best person for me?
Well, I mean, I think you can query the staff. You should be able to ask those types of questions from either the staff or the physician themselves. And I have patients that ask me, you know, regularly, and I don't find that to be an insult in any fashion. Mm-hmm. I actually go kudos to that person. They care about who's providing their services. They're interested in getting a good result and, you know, they're participating in their healthcare. And whether that's, you know, general medicine or aesthetics, it's still important in either regard. We're talking about your body and things that are being in sometimes injected or taken out in a minimally invasive way. But, you know, those are questions that either the facility or the physician should happily answer for you. And if they don't, run
that's
the
a
other
red
way.
Flag. Absolutely. Yeah.
Well, I'd say the same thing for the laser technicians. I mean, these schools are graduating kids right and left. And unfortunately, they're not getting the kind of practical hours that they really need to know their job. Mm-hmm. So just because someone has a certificate does not mean that they really know what they're doing.
Yeah.
They may have gone to school and got their aesthetics license. They may have gone to school and gotten their laser technician license, but that doesn't mean that they necessarily have the training that they need. And I feel so bad for these men and women who come out of the schools because they know they don't have everything they need. Mm-hmm. And it's very, very hard for them to find some place to go to get trained.
Right.
And we don't really help that in the fact that we won't hire people who are not well trained either.
Right.
And I always refer people to more of kind of the corporate, simpler places to get their start. So I think that when consumers come in, they should not, or when they call,
right,
they should not be afraid to say, how long has your laser tech been doing this position?
Yeah.
how many, you know, hours, if they want to ask that question, they wouldn't be able to know exact hours, but they would be able to say, I've been doing this for 5 years or 10 years or
right.
4 years, and I've been doing these kinds of services. It's more than just knowing how to operate the laser.
Right.
They have to really understand the skin and the color of the skin.
I was going to say the nuances.
All of the nuances. Yeah. So, you know, people really should ask those questions.
Right.
And I think if they did, they would find that they'd get a much better result. And plus, people need not to be afraid
right.
to ask people tough questions. If they come in and they don't understand something or they aren't completely comfortable with you yet, then they need to ask the questions to help make them that way, because this is a very trust-based business.
Yes.
And
especially with some of the things that we do, you know, regarding sexual health, you know,
right.
we're talking right. really close relationships after yeah. that. So yeah. you really do have to have faith in your provider and trust. And, you know, like we were saying, if you get pushback on those questions, I think that's a huge red flag.
It's got to be.
I'm happy to answer any of those types of questions for clients. And, you know, kind of like what we were saying with the education, you know, that can either be from the procedure or, you know, from the practitioner. And mm-hmm. they should feel comfortable in all aspects of that. And it is 100% their right to ask those questions.
Yeah, so. Absolutely. That's really important, because you kind of touched on it as far as the skin. And I know you had mentioned to me in the past with your laser technicians, because skin can come in so many different shades and, you know, there's so many different types of skin out there. How do you know that your techs can handle that? But there's, you know, I think people, especially if they're of any kind of ethnicity, where, because doesn't darker skin, it's affected differently by the lasers and those sorts of things. So if you have any sort of uniqueness there, that you need to know who you're going to see, right?
Yeah, I mean, darker skins have to be careful. And the other thing that people don't realize is someone may look fair, but if your ethnic background, you know, is Italian, Mediterranean, Asian, Latino, that in and of itself, regardless of how you appear to the naked eye, also affects the way that you can respond to treatments. So I'm not sure how it happened, but it did. We've collected a large group, either ethnic patients or darker skin clientele. And we really pride ourselves in the fact that we have spent extra time researching, finding products, techniques right. that are safe for those skin types. Because unfortunately, and, you know, we try our best sometimes to clean up other locations' prior mistakes. Mm-hmm. But unfortunately, you know, depending on what happens, those mistakes can be permanent. You can get permanent pigmentation issues. Yeah. You can get permanent scarring. So if you are darker skin or you do have, you know, that type of ethnic background, it's especially important to go to a spa that is well-versed in those types of ethnicities and handling those types of clients, has products and services that are geared towards those patients and can speak to you about why they're safe and, you know, how they're sort of protecting your skin and your skin type.
Yeah, that's important. That I could really see how that, I mean, it's your skin, right? Especially if you're talking about your face.
Absolutely.
You know, I mean, you know, nobody wants to walk around with anything that's permanent or doesn't come out the way that they were intended.
Well, and when you damage your pigment.
Yeah, there's not a lot of ways to correct it these days, unfortunately. Yeah. So we try very hard to err on the side of caution, even in those patients. And then, like I said, just, you know, really knowing what is correct and not correct as far as both products and procedures.
Yeah. And I think that kind of touches back to your staff and the mm-hmm. whole idea of knowing what you don't know. So if somebody is encountered with a patient with maybe a skin type that they haven't worked on before, that they feel comfortable coming to you and saying, hey, I need a little help here. I'm not quite sure right. what to do. Yeah, that's important. That kind of leads me into another thing that I really appreciate about you folks, is that you've worked with a lot of the transgender community. So, and I've even spoken with some of your clients about that. And I think it's beautiful, because you're helping people kind of come into a whole new chapter of their lives. So was that something that you kind of actively sought out, or you just saw that there was a need there? This has just kind of evolved in the way that you were saying that the ethnicities have. But let's touch on that a little. I love the inclusiveness of it.
You know, fortunately, we have some really wonderful clients, and I don't think initially because I'm not biased in that way, mm-hmm. I didn't really realize, even from the medical perspective, how biased some places can be towards anything that's not the norm. Right. Gay, straight, bi, transgender, I mean, you name it, whatever it is that's, you know, not kind of the quid pro quo. So, you know, we've had some really lovely patients sort of help enlighten us to what exactly is kind of going on and the needs of the community. And once we sort of found that there really was, you know, a desire for a place to feel safe and for those services to be provided and to not feel judged or, you know, in danger even, which is crazy for me to even say, but, you know, that's unfortunately some of these people's issues. You know, they've been really lovely about helping to educate us in that respect. And so once we realized that that was an issue, then after that, we did actively seek, you know, to sort of advertise ourselves as one of those places where those types of people can come and that, you know, no one on our staff is going to have any other ideals except for what we have. So, you know, the whole entire facility is on the same page as far as, you know, creating a really loving, caring, safe environment for those patients to be treated like they should be, you know, just like anybody else.
For everyone to come.
Exactly.
And I know, Karen, you had shared with me that even some of your previous patients have been, have mentioned that there's places that are even exploiting that, like they're kind of, you know, kind of taking advantage of that population. So it's nice that you guys are countering that.
Well, it's unfortunate that everyone in the world doesn't come from the same place.
Right.
Just, you know, of love and trying to nurture and take care of people in the ways that
they're just
they can.
People. Yeah.
But I'll tell you, I don't think it ever hit me so hard as when we had a client who just literally burst into tears because they had told me that they had never been treated with such love and respect. And it was the first time that they felt safe being themselves, which broke my heart because, I mean, obviously I was really happy that we could provide that. But the fact that that's not what's provided everywhere.
Yeah.
Just, you know, when you don't live that lifestyle, you're just not aware of all of the things that can happen. And so for us, I know all of us, to be able to provide that for people who really appreciate it and need the services to accomplish what they need to accomplish, it's really heartwarming and it's been a real gift to us.
I mean, they're so like overly grateful, you know, I mean, I don't even feel like we deserve as grateful as they are, but I mean, they are some of, you know, the best, most grateful patients that we have.
Yeah.
So
yeah, that's wonderful.
They really are. It's been a wonderful awakening just to learn about, you know, all the different segments that you, when you're not that segment, you just are not aware of. And so when you get the opportunity to be a part of that, it's really a gift.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think in general, what you guys are doing, you're just helping people feel great every day, right? That's a wonderful thing to go to work every day and do. I'm sure it comes with every once in a while, there's a day you just don't really want to go to work. But I actually wanted to touch on that too, Dr. I, were you like, what was your background before opening the med spa and what, you know, how did you make that transition? In fact, you both came from kind of high paced, very hectic work lives, I think, before that. So,
yes, we did.
Yeah. So this was a conscious decision in opening a med spa to create something that was different for yourself, right?
Right. Yeah. I initially started out in general surgery and I was doing, you know, some weeks, 90 hours of trauma call. And, you know, while I love the surgical aspect of it, the lifestyle left some things to be desired.
Yeah.
You know, I have two small children and while I love what I do, I feel like, you know, for any person, there has to be an appropriate work-life balance. And I really was not getting that in the circumstances that I started out in. And so, you know, I sat and I kind of looked at, you know, what made me happy from a medical perspective, like what I wanted to spend my time doing, what would make me happy, and therefore, you know, that would translate to my patients. And so, you know, that was just aesthetics was something that I've always enjoyed. Even back when I was in general surgery, I was going to do plastics and reconstructive. So that was always sort of the path that I was going on. It just was, how was I going to get there? And how was I going to sort of have that come to fruition. Mm-hmm. And so it's nice because, you know, being a single mom, if I, you know, have a sporting event that, you know, my child has, or, you know, there's a wonderful conference that comes up, or I want to take an extra hour with a patient, guess what? Nobody's getting in trouble except for myself with myself.
Right.
You know, so I can sort of tailor that. And I think too, also coming from the insurance side of medicine and having bosses in that industry, it was like, if I wasn't meeting a quota that was just, I felt an ethics violation, mm-hmm. you know, I would have sort of backlash from my superiors. And I thought, you know, I would rather not practice medicine than do this drive-through mentality and miss really important things and make my patients feel like they don't matter. And so, you know, that style of medicine just isn't for me. So mm-hmm. now I'm able to spend, you know, quality time with my patients, take the time that I feel like they either deserve or they need or both, while still having a really good work-life balance. And so that's what prompted me sort of to make that transition.
Yeah, that's good.
And Karen, you know, I got under unfortunate circumstances, but we're certainly happy to have her here. So I'll let her kind of speak to that.
Yes.
Well, I spent about 35 years in the corporate level world of vice presidents of big corporations. Mm-hmm. The last 10 years before I started with working with my daughter was at Western International University as the executive director of marketing and sales. And so
that's part of Apollo Group, which does University of Phoenix, for those of you that are unfamiliar.
Yes. and I'd been with Kaiser as a VP and just pretty much all over doing all kinds of things, which I loved. But my hours were
insane.
Yeah, I had to travel a lot my whole career. It gave me a tremendous number of blessings, but it also, I guess, wore me out because the unfortunate circumstance that she was alluding to was that I was diagnosed with stage 3C breast cancer in 2010.
Which could be from all the stress, right?
Well, I'm sure that it played kind of part. although I was very happy in my stress, there's only so much you can do when you're trying to be a really good mother because I was blessed with this amazing daughter and I am obsessed with my work. So I was always overachieving, as she would constantly remind me of. But when I got diagnosed, after several chemo sessions and sitting in the parking lot, at a consulting job for 2 hours after I was through realizing I couldn't drive myself home, I decided that I needed to do something different. As the universe would work and as God would seem to have it, Janessa decided at that time that she was going to open the medical spa. And so with my background in marketing and running an organization, and I've always had such a love of people and learning and getting to work with her, it worked out perfect because obviously she understands my needs as far as if I have to go to a doctor's appointment or if I have something else that I have to do. And our skill sets are so different. It makes for this beautiful blend. Mm-hmm. And the greatest blessing is that I get to spend a ton of time with my daughter, whom I adore. And I have these two beautiful grandsons who are 4 and 6. And had this not all happened, I would not know them even half as well as I do. Yeah. I get to be around them all the time. I get to participate in their lives. I get to go to their sporting events. I get to be there for support for my daughter. It's like the very best dream. Mm-hmm. You know, you wake up from this nightmare and you end up in this beautiful dream of a life that I never even thought was there. Mm-hmm. And so it's just been this amazing transition. I get to use my skill sets. I get to be proud of her watching her skill sets. Yeah. And we get to have this amazing family too.
Yeah. Yeah. I love it. And then I do want to touch a little bit, if you don't mind sharing some of that story, because there's obviously a lot of challenges that you faced in that cancer diagnosis. We can let everybody know that you can say you're cancer-free now, right?
I am cancer-free. Yep. I did my last chemo, I finished in 2013.
Okay.
So 3 different rounds.
Yeah.
And I think people, too, just so they kind of understand the severity of this, when she says she has 3C cancer, it goes to 4, and 4 is metastatic, and that's right. it.
Yeah.
So, you know, she had pretty pretty severe cancer. So she likes to sort of downplay that side of it. But, you know, for lay people that don't really understand it, it was very advanced cancer. And there was a period of time where, you know, we weren't really sure exactly what was going to happen.
Yeah.
So the fact that she's landed on her feet where she's landed is pretty astounding.
Right.
In and of itself, with me having nothing to do with that portion of it, except for some support.
But I want to talk about, because you have shared this story with me where, you know, when you started to come out of all of that treatment and really start to feel better, but then still were kind of wearing the signs of what you'd been through. And you, so people would always just still tell you were tired and but you were feeling really good. So this is where all of this treatment comes in, where your own daughter kind of helped bring back the beautiful you that was there before all of this cancer. So if you guys can share a little bit about that, and you were kind of a little bit of a guinea pig in some of her learning. So it's such a fun story.
Well, she didn't kind of help bring me back. She brought me back.
Yeah.
As anyone with cancer can tell you, after 3 different rounds of chemo and 12 surgeries and 37 radiations, all of a sudden this face you look at in the mirror does not look like your face anymore.
Yeah.
So like you said, when I started feeling better and I wasn't in active treatment, people always with good intentions would look at me and they would say, oh my gosh, you look so tired and you're this and you're that. And I'm thinking, oh brother, if I look that bad, maybe I should feel worse. So fortunately, with my daughter, she could look at me and she could say, okay, this is what I think is going on and this is what I think you need. I mean, I guess I can let her tell you. I looked sunken and hollow, skin tone not so great. So why don't you just talk to him about, you can talk to him about, like, even with things like the Voluma and the simple things like that that make such a huge difference in how you look.
Well, you know, not only with her, but, you know, with patients in general, I have a lot of patients kind of coming in with this whole sickness stigmata. And, you know, people don't really... You know, they don't understand the fact that there really is sort of this, you know, stigma to how you look after you've gone through something like that, or, you know, the death of a loved one, or, you know, I have a lot of patients that are caretakers for either children or significant others. And, you know, they've been a caretaker for 7 years and they haven't gotten 2 seconds to themselves. And, you know, these people, whatever their circumstances are, either illness, stress, you know, loss of a loved one, they come out the other side and they're starting to do that repair process where they're feeling better or good on the inside. And like Karen said, you know, they still look that way on the outside. And so it almost starts to reverse the process because it, you know, you tend to look at yourself through other people's eyes instead of your own, unfortunately. And, even if you do look at yourself through your own eyes, we tend to be our own worst critics as well. So either way you're looking at it, you're not really getting a great,
right.
a great image mirrored back to you. And so, or even if people are still sick, they want to look at something healthy in the mirror. And that in and of itself, you know, people think it's vanity, but it really isn't, because there is really this connection to, you know, looking at your appearance and feeling a certain way and sort of manifesting that internally or vice versa. And so there are a lot of very safe, minimally invasive techniques that we have now in the aesthetics community. And that's sort of how, you know, things are trending, as well as now we have, you know, anti-aging and regenerative medicine with all of these biologic products, either PRP or amniotic, snail, fetal, you name it. We've got all these, you know, products that are coming out on the market now too, that are actually regenerating tissue. So we can either regenerate tissue with those types of things, or, you know, with some of the natural fillers that are hyaluronic acid, which is already in your skin. We're just putting a synthetic version of it in. There's some very easy things that we can do, kind of like Karen was talking about, you know, people, we first saw it, you know, pretty significantly in the HIV AIDS crisis, where you get all that sort of wasting look, and that can happen in a lot of people with chronic illness. And so if we just give that sort of plumper, healthier, you know, shape back to the face, you know, fat in your face is a sign of youthfulness.
Yeah.
When we do some of these really simple things, then people can start to look at themselves in the mirror. They see someone that looks healthy. They start getting compliments from other people. And, you know, kind of how I was stressing in the beginning about having that really natural look, the best compliment that I can get is if someone goes, well, did you do your hair, or did you go on vacation?
Yeah.
They can't quite put their finger on it, but they know that that person looks better.
More vibrant.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so those people can kind of own that themselves without having to be ratted out that they went and had something done. And so they can go, yeah,
You know, right.
I'm not going to rat them out. That's for sure. So, you know, now they start to get this, oh, well, you look really good. And they start getting this positive feedback. And that really feeds the soul, I think. So,
absolutely.
You know,
and then facilitates more healing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So it's kind of, you know, this round and round process. And I don't think people appreciate how important it is to the person that's going through it. So, you know, fortunately, I feel very blessed to help those people in those circumstances and see the impact that it makes in their lives. And it really is transformative in those cases.
And to have done it for your mom, that's pretty powerful.
Well, and I will tell you, one of the first things that she did for me was she put Voluma in my cheeks, which basically took me from looking hollow to looking like I used to look.
Yeah.
And the best compliment that I got was that people immediately, literally the next day, I didn't hear anymore, you look so tired.
Right.
So I don't think they could, if they would have said, you're beautiful, it wouldn't have mattered to me as much as people quit saying, you look so tired, which just, I don't know, when you look in the mirror and you don't hear that in your head about people saying that to you all the time, and you look in the mirror and you're like, wow, yeah, I'm starting to look better again. And then, you know, she's followed it up with, you know, the photo facials and other things. And I don't think people really do understand. And unless you've been in the position, I think it's almost impossible to understand that when you look in the mirror and you can see a healthier looking version of you, it really does infuse your soul with a special kind of energy because, you know, they always say what's on the inside shines out. Well, sometimes you need a little help.
Yeah.
You know, especially when your insides have gone through a really rough time.
Right.
And by doing the things that I've done and letting Dr. Anatoly work on me and help restore me back to what I feel like was my own kind of natural beauty. It just changed my life. It made me feel confident again. This is a terrible story, but I'm going to share it anyway, because my sister doesn't live in town. But we, you know, I go to all these appointments. Your life, when you've had a major disease, your life is never out of the doctor.
Right.
But, you know, instead of doctors thinking I was sick, that she'd be with me and they'd be like, where's the the cancer patient? And it was me. And they were like, wow, you look so great. And I mean, I can't even tell you how much that, you know, that meant to me, that they don't even know who the cancer patient is because I looked healthy too.
Yeah.
So those kind of things are a huge boost.
Yeah.
Just a huge boost.
Absolutely.
Plus, I think she's a role model too in the spa. You know, people come in sort of the beginning stages of where she was. And I think sometimes it's hard for people to even envision that they can get to that end point. So I think, you know, a lot of people that are in similar circumstances, they sort of see where she's come from and where she's ended up at. And it sort of gives, you know, hope that they can have a similar outcome
Definitely going to contribute to a better outcome for them if they believe in it. And let's just note, you don't look like you've had all, you know, it's not like we're like, oh my gosh, look, she's had all this work done. Like, you just look beautiful.
Well, yeah. Thank you. I mean, I feel like I just truly look like I did before all this happened. I mean, and I'm happy to share with people that I'm 62 and I never looked my age, and I was looking older than my age. And now I feel like I'm back to not looking my age again. Right. And, you know, I know that sounds silly because you guys are all young, but, you know, the older you get, you know, I want to be 62. I want to be 75. I want to be 90, but that does not mean that I want to look those ages.
Right.
I want to look.
And she's eternally 21 on the inside. Yeah. Just a note.
Exactly. And that's exactly how I want to keep it. I want my inner reflection to be portrayed on the outside of me. I think it's really encouraging. One of the things that she said, I think is really fun is, people like to push and prod on my face and I get inspected so regularly. I can't tell you, but it's such a joy to me to be able to do that because people, I'm a real person. Mm-hmm. They can see the before. They can see the real me. It hasn't been retouched. I don't look unnatural. I look, like I said, I look like I wished I would have looked without all that junk that had happened.
Well, you just look like you've lived a healthy lifestyle your whole life.
And I really have.
Right.
And, you know, that's the good news. I really have had a healthy lifestyle. I just had a little blip in there.
Yeah.
But now I look like I never had that blip.
Yeah.
And I love that I can be encouraging to people. I feel like, I mean, it may be helping them, but it helps me so much because I feel like I can give back, you know, and you want to give back in every little way you can.
And anything you can give yourself a reason for what you went through, that helps too. You know, if you're helping other people, then maybe you know, and you were able to get through it. Not everybody could. Like you said, she's very strong. Not everybody does get through it.
Well, no, especially not at that. And and the other thing, too, that I think is, you know, good to note is, you know, we see a lot of people for surgical scarring and, you know, we do OSHOT. So I've seen people that have had, you know, cervical tissue and vaginal tissue that's like concrete that, you know, we're able to do regenerative things on. So it's not just always the aesthetics in the way that you think it is. There are other things that we can do, like I said, in the sexual health department and also just...
Which is an important part of life. Mm-hmm, people don't want to talk about it, but
it is. And, you know, like she's had a bunch of flaps from her back to her front. And so she has, you know, scar tissue and things that were sort of compromising the range of motion in her arm. So we've done some PRP injections into her scars and she's gotten significant range of motion back with those. So there are other things that we do in the spa that are not strictly like quote unquote what you would think of in aesthetics with the regenerative medicine component that we've had or, you know, being able to fix, you know, surgical deformities from, you know, prior procedures either that were necessary or that, you know, happened unfortunately.
Right.
So there are other things that we do that are not, you know, just on the straight and narrow that sort of fall a little bit out of the scope of what people would traditionally think of a medical spa doing.
That makes sense. So we're getting close to our time, but I would love for you to, you've mentioned PRP several times. I think we all know what it is, but let's give a little like brief introduction to what PRP means and what that is.
So everything sort of gearing towards having your body as a shopping cart. And so part of that is PRP, which is platelet-rich plasma. It's a component of your blood. Basically, we draw your blood like you would at the lab for any other blood draw. We take the red blood cells, kick those bad boys off, and then we're left with the rest of it, which is the PRP. And it's got about 20 different healing factors, growth factors in it. It's going to recruit collagen, blood vessels. Basically, it's your body's own secret healing sauce. So it's very versatile. It can go into joints. It's been used in orthopedics for several decades. Now it's made its way into aesthetics. So we can put it in breasts, penis, vagina, face. I mean, pretty much anywhere you want to stick it, depending on what's going on.
Yeah.
It's a real good workhorse.
Yeah.
And like I said, you know, we're soon going to be incorporating some other biologic products that are like stem cell related and things like that. And those are great for hair restoration, for body restoration. There's just sort of no limits to the things that are coming out of the regenerative medicine part of aesthetics. So
like
it's really
exciting.
That idea
of your body as a shopping cart. And that's what's in the all the vampire stuff that you've mentioned.
Yeah.
That's
anything
PRP.
Vampire is going to be PRP.
And if we have time, I think it'd be really interesting if she talked about the Renuvian J plasma
Absolutely.
For a second, because it's something that not very many places offer, and it is amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. It may be one of my favorite toys.
Yeah.
But it basically is cold plasma energy, which is a little kind of confusing to people because they want to say, well, is it a laser? No, it's not a laser. It's its own thing. You're going to see it in the environment and things like neon signs or in lightning. So it's like a teeny tiny lightning bolt, and we use it for resurfacings, and we can do kind of medium to deep resurfacings, but these resurfacings are out of the world, amazing, really deep etched in lines. They can take 10, 15, 20 years off of people's face with very nominal downtime. And then it's also used underneath the skin as a skin tightening modality. I've had it done on myself. They told me that I needed a mini tummy tuck, and I didn't have one, didn't need one. So a lot of people that have, lax skin that have been told they have to have, excisional surgeries, this can, not in everyone's case, but in the majority of cases, minimally invasive way, tighten the heck out of things. So yeah. It's really an amazing device, very controlled, very safe, producing outstanding results. So if you either have skin laxity or if you want resurfacing and tightening, it also tightens the lower tissues too. So it almost looks like these people have had a facelift or injectables and a resurfacing all in the same shebang.
You should talk about bat wings too, because
yeah, I was going to say that.
This is like crazy.
So I've been doing liposuction. I'm a high definition liposuction trainer for years and years. And arms are a notoriously evil portion of the body because they don't want to retract the same way as everywhere else. So you end up with either one of two situations, people that just have extra skin, or we go in and we do liposuction and we actually can make things worse for them because now they have even more hanging skin that's not full and looks worse. Less attractive.
Yeah. It's like a raisin instead of a grape.
Exactly. Yeah. So when we combine that either with or without the liposuction in difficult areas like the arms, we can take off significantly more fat during the liposuction section, or we can eliminate the need for a brachioplasty or an arm skin excision in the majority of people. So it's amazing for people that don't want to have those huge scars or that huge downtime.
Yeah, but they want to be able to go sleeveless,
right,
and not feel like an old
saggy
lady.
Right. Or is it even good for, like, I know if somebody has a lot of weight to lose, if they lose it, then if they've been really obese, that skin can really be saggy. Is it effective in that case as well?
Yeah, I mean, it's going to depend. If you've lost 200-300 pounds, and it may not be appropriate for you, which is why we offer the free consultations.
Right.
But like I said, in the majority of cases, I rarely turn people away because they have too much excess skin. So I would say like the majority of the population are candidates for this procedure. It's safe on internally, it's safe on all skin types.
Yeah.
And it really does just, I mean, I'm blown away continuously. Every patient is like, I just am so excited.
And that science is fascinating. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's all really cool stuff. Okay, so let's let everybody know how they can get in touch with you. Website is Advanced Image Med Spa, right?
Correct.
.com. Phone number, I have the phone number on your site, 480-359-1570.
Our main site's going to be 480-845-4121.
Okay.
Either way, they can get a hold of us.
Okay.
And then we also have Facebook and Instagram accounts. They're at Advanced Image Med Spa. So any kind of social media you're into these days, we're pretty much available on the web or any social media.
Yeah, and I know you guys have Instagram too. You're located in Glendale. What's Correct. The name of, is there a name for that area?
So we're right across the street from Arrowhead Mall. So most people know where Arrowhead Mall is. So we're really accessible. We're literally, a quarter of a mile off the freeway.
Yes.
So, if you're talking about doing a procedure that's going to last years or that you're going to have maybe once in your life, even if you're in Chandler, let me tell you, it is worth the drive.
Yeah. Because like we talked about early on, it matters who you go to.
Absolutely.
So take a few extra minutes in the car, get it done quality. Yeah. Definitely, not something that you want to purchase on convenience only.
Right. Well, and we have patients drive down from Sedona and yes. Prescott and up from
Montana,
yeah. Yeah. Washington,
South Dakota. So, I mean, yeah, wherever. We're happy to see
yeah.
you.
Yeah, but that's a good testimonial right mm-hmm. there. They'll sure. come from afar to work with you guys. Okay, anything else that you want to share? Anything I didn't get to touch on?
No, I think we pretty much covered everything. If you have questions, like I said, don't feel bad about the free consultation. That's what we're here for. Mm-hmm. You know, I really think if you're just querying whether you're a candidate for something or not, you know, if you don't see us, just make sure you get a qualified opinion from a physician that does this on a daily basis. Yeah. I think that's really just the main point is, yeah. you know, if you can't come to us, go to somebody that is qualified.
And I'll even chime in with, you did the consultation on me and I went in there all cocky, like, my skin's great. I'm like, oh, no, it is not. There's a lot you don't see.
Yeah. I'm never mean unless I have a way to fix it.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. So even if you don't think that your skin's been damaged, there's probably a little bit going on.
Well, especially
there,
so. In Arizona. I mean, mm-hmm. any adult person that's lived in Arizona for any period of time, unfortunately, that's one of the downsides of living in a very sunny environment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And yeah, I do enjoy the pool. So guilty of maybe some of that being my own fault. Okay, well, this has been an amazing episode of Culture Crush RX. Thank you, ladies, so much for joining me. I am your host, Deb Karen, with Anahata Marketing, and we are very proud to be part of the Phoenix Business Radio X community. We hit your airwaves in partnership with Mach 6 and Conscious Capitalism of Arizona. And as always, I hope that you've taken something away, learned a little bit, and I will talk to you next time.